Lord Jesus, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your glorious name, Lord. Lord, I just ask that what you've put in my heart would bring encouragement to your body and help us along the way as we wait for your return. In Jesus' name, amen. Last weekend, I had two of my granddaughters visiting. One is 6 months old, 5 months old, six months. That's Violet May Brennan. And then we had Vivian Rose Brennan. She is five. We have 5 months and 5 years old. Well, our 5 months old was actually cutting her teeth for the first time. And you know how babies are when they're cutting their teeth. And actually, she's doing, I think, pretty well. I've heard some kids have some pretty rotten times, but she's starting to cut her two bottom teeth. And so at some point, they're going to come through, obviously, and her teeth will grow. Now, Vivian, on the other hand, it's interesting to note, her mouth has started to widen, and her teeth are starting to separate, and they're all getting loose. And she's there playing with her tongue. She goes, "Look, Papa, my teeth. You know, so she's playing around with her teeth, and she's feeling a change going on in her mouth, right? So she's already had her baby teeth, and now she's waiting for her adult teeth. And I said, "This is really cool, Vivian. You're getting your adult teeth now. So that's you're going to be a big, big girl now." Anyway, then eventually, you know, the process for all of us is we do grow and mature, and we get taller, we get bigger, and eventually, eventually we go to the grave, right? That's the end of our line, but there's certain processes in which our body goes through, and in fact, nowadays, you can go on and get these charts. I looked at a couple online last night. But you can get these charts like between 6 months and 36 months. And this is what to expect on the first month and the fifth week and the 10th week. And you start looking, it's like, really? So all these documented things about how the body grows and how it matures. And it's almost like, you know, like a clockwork, you know. Most of us all go through that same process. And so here we all are here today, mature adults, most of us, right? But anyway, I want to speak today about not physical maturity, but spiritual maturity. And I did get some notes from this tract, which is available in the back from Dale Rumble. It's called Growing into Christ. So this could fill in some of questions you might have after I finish the message. But in any case, there are stages of our spiritual growth. And who knows what is the first stage of our growth? Acceptance? No, it's before Nepios. It's before Nepios. See, some people knew the Greek here. What starts our spiritual life? Conception. What's that called? What? Committed? It's called being born again. Right? We need to be born again to start our spiritual life. It doesn't have, even if you're a mature adult and you haven't accepted Christ, you're not even born yet in the Spirit. So anyway, there are stages. I found six stages of growth. In the scriptures. But anyway, the first one is brephos. And it's a word for a newborn child or an unborn child. And in the natural, in Luke it says, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. So here was a baby that hadn't even been birthed yet. and yet it has a particular, it's an infant, it's a newborn child or an unborn child. And then in Luke 2:12 it says, this will be a sign for you, you will find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger. So we know these stories, and so that's in the natural. But in the spiritual, in 1 Peter 2, it says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word so that it may grow in respect to salvation. So here they're using spiritually about being a brand new child, which is your salvation. And what is the first thing a child wants? It wants its mother's milk, right? And so we know that based on several scriptures, it talks about the milk being the word of God. And I know from my experience, when I first got born again, I needed to know things that I didn't know before. And people began to point me to this book. And I thought I knew a lot of things. And then they said, oh, let's look here. And they would show me things. And all the things I knew were just being thrown out of my brain, and new things were being put in. You know, because I was an infant and I didn't know what I was talking about. And here I was considered an adult when that happened. So the next phase is nepios, and it means babes or children. And in the natural, in 1 Corinthians says, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think of a child, reason like a child. But when I became a man, I did away with childish things. So he's speaking about a natural progress. When I was a child, I behaved like a child. When I became an adult, I behaved like an adult. Even in Galatians, it says, also, while we were children, we were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. I'm not going to go into what that was placed. But anyway, then there's the spiritual side. And the spiritual side in 1 Corinthians 3:1-4, it says, brethren, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. For among you are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? For one says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. Are you not mere men? So here these guys were vying for, saying, I have this guy to follow, which was very typical in the Jewish custom. They had their rabbis that they followed, and it was considered to be mature to go follow particular rabbis. But actually, the bickering back and forth is just showing that you're still a baby. You know, that's what Jesus was saying. You guys, you're just still babies. Here you are bickering back and forth about who's who, but it has nothing to do with them. It has to do with me. Isn't that what we were hearing today? It's all about you, Lord Jesus. We just want you. Hebrews, here's the spiritual side of it. Hebrews 5:12-13. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. So he's speaking there about, again, about maturity in the spirit. And he says, by now, you guys, you should have had it. You should be teaching by now. But you're still just, in a sense, you're still sucking on your mother's breast, excuse me, but that's what it was. They're still infants. They were still children. So that was the second stage, is becoming a nepios, right? And if you look through the scriptures, you'll see that when the scriptures talk about spiritual maturity, they'll talk about things that are still happening in your life, which are basically indications of where you're at in your growth, right? And here, what was he saying? As I back up, He was basically talking, saying that they were still fleshly, there was jealousy, and there was strife. He says, you're still babes, you know. The next one is called Neos. It means the younger of a younger man or the younger of the younger women, okay? It's not really a young man or a young woman because there's another word for that, but this is like the younger of the two. And so here's the natural example. It says in Luke 15:12, the younger of them said to his father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided the wealth between them. Now, you know, that's the prodigal son. And it was the younger of the two sons. And they're both young men, right? But he was the younger. And that's what that means. And so the spiritual side of that, and it says Colossians 3:10, and have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And that new self, that what are we putting on? We're putting on Christ, right? Is when we put on that new thing, we're putting on Christ in our lives. And there's not a lot of scriptures that talk about the younger of the younger men, but I just put that in there because there was an indication of that. And the fourth stage of growth is, let me see if I'm going to get this right. Neoniskos, I think that's how it's pronounced, Neoniskos. It means young men. And in the natural, Luke 7:14, it says, he came up, he touched the coffin, and the bearers came to the halt, and he said, young man, I say to you, rise. That's when Jesus saw that cart, he laid hands on it, and rose the guy from the dead. And there's all kinds of other scriptures about Neoniskos, young men. But in the spirit, let me read. Acts 2:17, it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour out forth my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. he's actually talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon young men and young women. 1 John 2:13, I'm writing to you fathers because you know him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you young men because you have overcome the evil one. And I've written to you children because you know the Father. So the next stage is the pater, P-A-T-E-R, and that's the Father. And that word is often used of our Father in heaven throughout the New Testament. But in any case, in Matthew 4:21, it says, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending the nets, and he called them. So that's a natural one where we just see a father and a son. But in the spiritual, in 1 Corinthians 4:15, if you were to have countless tutors in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers. For in Christ I became your father through the gospel. That's Paul speaking about himself. He came to this place where he's seeing himself really as a father in the spirit to these younger men. And in 1 Thessalonians 2:1, just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. So Paul understood that process of his own personal growth, that he at that time was a dad to many people. Now, this last stage of growth is really the focus of my message. And it's called telios. And there are various forms of that word. But it means to be mature, fully extended, perfect, and complete. And I found only one scripture where it spoke in the natural about being teleos. And I'm going to read. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 4. Initially, I didn't think there was any because they were all speaking spiritually. But then I found this one particular scripture that spoke in the natural, 2 Timothy. That's before Hebrews. Second Timothy 4:6. This is Paul speaking. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." And did I make a mistake here? All that parts. Yes, and through we're going to verse 8. I'm sorry. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course." And finished the course. Finishing is the word teleos. He's come to the end. He's been fully extended. "In the future is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Paul is saying, "I'm about to die." That was his natural, fully extended life. He says, "I'm coming to it. I've finished the race. I'm coming to it, and I'm passing on." And that's all of us. We're all going to reach that place in the natural. We're going to come to the end of our life. But, you know, in the spirit, God wants us to come to the end of ourselves while we are alive. Peter shared something very profound Friday night. And he spoke about being completely empty. Is that what the term you use, Peter? Without resources, having nothing, empty. And that's to me, becoming to that place of being fully extended, where we realize there's nothing within ourselves that can produce salvation, that can produce joy, that can produce prosperity, whatever it is, your hopes, your dreams, none of that can come from us. And until we come to that place of being fully stretched and realizing that it's not about us. I mean, we hear these terms. But these guys went through it. And I'm going to give you some examples of how they've gone through, where God brought them to a place where they were stretching. Have you guys ever been stretched? Yeah. I know most of your stories, believe it or not, because you told them to me. You've shared them here. You guys have been stretched. You're a bunch of rubber bands that just have no more elasticity left, right? There's no more power there. We're just like, but guess what? You're here. You're here because you still believe. You've been fully stretched. There's no resources. You've been pounded into the dirt. Right, Bruce? But you're here. That is a sign of maturity. It has nothing to do with what you accomplished, what your gifts are in the spirit. Has nothing to do with that. It's at the end of the day, who are you going to believe in? Who are you trusting in? Who are you following? Who are you believing? What are the words that you are believing in? Matthew 5:48 says, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Can you do that? If you say yes, then you're still a babe. You're still drinking milk. But if you say no, then I think you've learned something in life. And yet, the Lord wants us to be perfect, fully extended, complete, mature. That's what that word means. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. You may not know this, but you can prove that. You can do that. In Christ, you can prove that who he is true. And he could do it through you. If you allow yourself to be totally submitted to the Lord and all the things that this world comes at us, and at the end you say, I still believe in Jesus, you've proven something to the powers and the principalities and the people of this earth. First Corinthians 14:20, brethren, do not be children in your thinking, yet in evil be infants, but in your thinking be mature. Be Telios. Be fully extended in your thinking. Thinking of what? Thinking of the Lord. That's where our mind has to be. Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And that was such a big thing when I first came to Christ. There was a lot of, well, it's probably even more today, but there was all kinds of booklets and tracts and things that were going out, and I just read them and believed them all. And, you know, then you start talking to people about the things you believe. They said, where'd you get that from? I said, well, I got it from this book. And they said, oh, really? You know who they are? And they start telling me about, you know, this particular cult or this particular group. And how they're just, you know, whatever. And I said, oh. And why was that? Because I didn't have this. My senses weren't trained. I was just like eating anything that came in because that's what I wanted. I mean, when you think of a little child, I mean, this is so typical. Little Violet May, everything she picks up, she puts in her mouth. I mean, everything. Dirty shoes and dirty diapers, you know what I mean? And because why? Because she wants something, but she doesn't have her senses trained to know which is good and evil yet, right? I mean, she just grabs everything. First thing, right in her mouth, everything, right in her mouth. That's the way I was. And then I just said, oh, no, I shouldn't read that. I should throw that in the trash because it's garbage. Let's turn to Luke 9. okay, there's a series of things here that reveal some interesting things about the apostles of Jesus Christ, you know, the men that he picked to start the church. Now, this is right after Peter, James, and John come off the mountain with Jesus. They just had this huge mountain experience, revelation, and basically Jesus says, don't tell anybody, you know, what just happened up there. It says on the next, the verse 37, Luke 9, verse 37, on the next day when they came down from the mountain, a large crowd met him. Now, you have to realize that the disciples that were left were not, they, in other words, Matthew, Peter, James, and John were not the disciples that they're talking about here, okay? On the next day when they came down from the mountain, the large crowd met him, and a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only boy." And a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly screams and throws himself into convulsions with foaming at the mouth, and only with difficulty does it leave him, mauling him as it leaves him. "I begged your disciples," not Peter, James, and John, "to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered and said, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I put up with you?" How long should he put up with us? And then while he was approaching, the demon slammed him to the ground, and basically Jesus, he sets him free. Now this is right after, okay? These are the spiritual men that God had caused and called to be his disciples. Verse 46, it says, an argument started among them as to which of them might be the greatest. But Jesus, knowing what they were thinking in their heart, took a child and stood him by the side and said to them, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For the one who is the least among you, this is the one who is great." Can you see? He's already pointing them to the end of being fully extended. He who is the least of you will be the greatest. As soon as you think you're something, the Bible says, he who thinks he is something when he is nothing deceives himself and quarrels against all sound judgment. So, whatever you think of yourself, now, if you think of yourself as a child of God, that's cool. That's all right. You can hold on to that. Anyway, so here these guys are. Jesus just rebuked them, and now they're trying to figure out who's going to be the greatest. You know, is it these three guys that just came off the mountain with Jesus? How come they're not being rebuked and we are? Who's going to be the greatest? You know, I mean, that's just our typical behavior. Now, it doesn't stop there. Verse 49. John answered and said, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he doesn't know how to follow along with us who can't cast out demons." I mean, think about what they're saying here. Even though that was John, right? That was, he was on the mountain, but. Anyway, forgive me, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to prevent him because he does not follow along with us. But Jesus said to him, "Do not hinder him, for he who is not against you is for you." You know, one of the things that they had to learn, the disciples, which took a long time, is accepting other people into their group. You know? And so here they were, like, having this little closed community and say, hey, these guys are not of us. They can't be, and you got to stop doing this because you're not of us, because Jesus is our cool guy, and we're following him and you're not, you know. So, I mean, but that's why we have so many denominations today. It's because we fall back into behaving like children. It doesn't stop. Here comes the guys again. Verse 51. And when the days were approaching for his ascension, he was determined to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers to go on ahead of him. And they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. Now, these guys, to be sent into a village of the Samaritans, right? I'm sure they weren't too happy about that, because the Samaritans hate the Jews. And so the Jews don't like them either. But they did not receive him, meaning Jesus, because he was traveling toward Jerusalem. But when his disciples, James and John, now here we go, the big guys, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned to rebuke them and said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. Come on, guys, wake up. Or grow up, right? Come on, guys. I mean, the reality is, when you think of children, you can't tell them to grow up, because it takes time for them to grow up. And you have to be willing to walk with them through that time till they get to grow up. But then there are people that grow up and they're mature, and then you really want them to grow up spiritually, or, you know, in their other things. And it's like, when are you going to grow up? You know, it's like, you're big now, and how come you're not grown up yet? Well, obviously, we need the Lord to really become mature, right? Without him, we'll never be mature. We may have our act together, or seemingly have our act together. We could be millionaires and do all kinds of things, but yet in the spirit, they're still not even born again. Let's go to Matthew 19. I'm actually just going to read verses 16 and 21, because I don't want to go through the whole story. This is the rich young ruler. Many of you know the story. He says, Teacher, what good thing shall I do to obtain eternal life? And he goes through this dialogue, and Jesus says, you know, do all these commandments. And he said, I've done all these things. What else do I need to do? Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete or perfect, go and sell your possessions, give them to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. And this man walked away depressed. He was basically saying, I don't want to be mature. If you want to be complete, if you want to be mature, all of these things don't matter unless you give everything. We got to give it all. Now for us. This is us now, okay? This is just a couple of scriptures just to hold on. Consider it all joy. We have heard this in the past couple of months. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect, or teleos, result, so that you may be perfect, or teleos. You see, everything that we go through is for our benefit. Everything the Lord allows for us to go through is for our benefit. He wants us to be fully extended so that we could see our total need for Him without compromise. He wants us to know Him. And when we get to know Him, we realize that everything we have is useless. And we want more of Him. And then it seems like the more we get of Him, the more we realize how much we don't have. Because God is so much bigger than our understanding in this realm. He's so much bigger than we comprehend right now. We can't fully comprehend it. My last story has to do with Peter the Apostle. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, 31. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Now, this is a very interesting statement that he makes. He says, here I am, I'm going to be struck down, and all of you guys are going to scatter. But he's saying, I'll see you in Galilee. In other words, he knows they're going to scatter, but he also knows that they're going to return. But Peter said to him, even if all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly, I say to you this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing. Getting my notes mixed up here. Now, I'm just going to read you what's in Luke that's not here in Matthew, which is so important. In Luke 22:31-34, it says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and that when once you have been turned again, strengthen your brothers. But he said to them, Lord, with you, I am all ready to go to both prison and death. And he said, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will crow today, and you will deny me three times. I forget who said this in the past couple of weeks or months, but they used a scripture and said, he prayed that his faith would not fail him. He didn't say, I'm going to pray that you would not deny me. But I'm going to pray that your faith does not fail you. And then what happens? Back to Matthew 26, verse 69. Now Peter was sitting outside the court, and a servant girl came to him and said, you too were with Jesus the Galilean. But he denied it before them, saying, I do not know who you're talking about. what you're talking about. When he had gone out of the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, he denied it with an oath. "I do not know the man." A little later, the bystanders came and said to Peter, "Surely you are the one of them, for even the way you talk gives it away." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. In one of the Gospels, it actually says he saw Jesus and they saw each other after he said that. And I can't imagine being in that place of saying, "Oh, I'll die for you, Jesus." And here he is dying. In his heart and in his mind, it's like he killed himself. What did I do? What did I do? It says at one point after that, it says they went fishing. So let's turn to the fishing incident. John 21. We're going to start in verse 1. John 21, starting in verse 1. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way. Simon and Peter, Thomas and Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out, got in the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples didn't know it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish? Do you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast a net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find a catch." So they cast, and they were not able to haul in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved, meaning John, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. He was going after Jesus. It says, "But the other disciples came in a little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards, was dragging the net of fish. So when they got out of onto the land, they saw a charcoal fire ready laid and placed, and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have now caught.' Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of large fish." So my thought in this particular story is Peter ran back to Jesus. He got out of, he jumped out of the boat. He needed Jesus. Because there was a point where everybody scattered and said, "Will you guys leave me too?" He goes, "Ben," they said, "No. You're the only one. You're the only one that has eternal life and hope for me." And here Peter, devastates himself by denying Jesus, runs back to him. And what does Jesus do? He says, Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Simon, do you love me? He says, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my. In other words, he's saying, I haven't given up on you. You've got a call on your life. You've got something to do. Again, it has nothing to do with our failures or our successes. Do we believe in the Lord? Will we always run to Him when everything falls apart? I believe you all will, because you're here today and you've been stretched. And you've been stretched, and you've been stretched, and you've been stretched. And God is just continually stretching you, because He wants to show you things that you just can't understand yet, because you're not fully stretched. You're not fully mature. What a beautiful scene. Yeah, you're going to deny me, but I pray that your faith would not fail. His faith did not fail. He came back. He came back to the Lord. Let's turn to Philippians. We're getting close to the closing of this message here. Philippians chapter 3. Starting in verse 7. Here's Paul, the one of the most learned men in Israel of his day. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. He's been stretched. And count them all but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already have obtained it, or already become perfect, or teleos, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. He wants to know what Jesus went through for him, so that he could know Him fully. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do know, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal of the prize of the upward call in Jesus Christ. Let us therefore, as many are mature, have this attitude, and if anything, you have a different attitude, he says, God will reveal that to you also. However, let us keep living the same standard to which we have attained. Don't shrink back. God is going to return He is going to fulfill all of his promises to you. Every one of them. This world is going to pass away. And we just don't know what he has prepared for us. We have no clue. Okay. My conclusion. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse. I think I'm going to start in the top of the chapter again. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance toward one another in love. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives. He gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is he himself who also ascended far above the heavens so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of faith of the knowledge of the Son of God. To what? A mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the gross growth of the body, of building up itself in love. Now, I just said a mouthful. But your maturity affects me. When you are stretched and you grow and your faith remains, I get blessed. I get encouraged. And what are you saying here? If as we all together seek to be stretched out and to seek to be that mature believer, it's going to affect the growth of the whole body. When I was younger, I used to hang out with a bunch of misfits. And if you hang out with a bunch of misfits, you're not going to grow up. You're just going to reproduce being a misfit. You know, but when I place myself in his house, I have been changing day after day, year after year, because not because necessarily of me, because of everything that's going on around me and through your lives. And when you have a success, I can rejoice in that. And when you have something bad, I can pray for you. Whatever it is, everything that's going on in your life is affecting me. And everything that goes on in my life affects you. It's not this private little thing. It's a body that God is forming, and it's only one body. There's only one Lord. There's only one faith. And it's not about being nosy and getting into your business. When we come to, you know, when we come to the Lord, eventually he opens us up and we become what? We become like a book because he's writing things on us. Why? So people can read it. And so as I mature, you mature. As you mature, I mature. And it sounded weird. Anyway, grow up is better. Does that make sense? So many of your successes have caused my faith to become more firm, more secure, so that when I get stretched, my faith will not fail me. So being mature, complete, and perfect is coming to the end of ourselves. It's coming to a place of emptiness, fully extended or stretched, so that through faith we only seek for, lay hold of, rely upon Jesus Christ, our Lord. And living in that place of maturity, we are used to cause others to grow. And together we attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, a mature church, the bride of Christ. And I've heard my sister Claudia say a couple of times that more things are going to happen. Whether it's COVID, whether it's finance, whatever it is, whether it's local, whether it's individual, whether it's global, whatever it is, more things are going to happen, and we're going to get stretched. And we're going to get stretched. And we'll be stretched to the day we've completed our race. But even that, my hope is that my life and my testimony will affect my children, my children's children, my friends here in the fellowship, people in the neighborhood, whatever it may be, that it will have an effect on them. Is that what you guys want? Let's just stand a minute and pray together. Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, our Father, Lord, I pray that our faith would not fail us. Lord, no matter what happens in our life, no matter what successes, no matter what failures happens, Lord, I want us all to always return to you. Return to you, Lord. You are the author and the giver of life and the perfecter of our faith. Help us, O Lord. Lord, we see you in a measure. We see you dimly. But one day, we're going to see you face to face. And we will know just as we've been fully known. And Lord, we don't even fully know ourselves at times. And yet, you're exposing it. You're showing us, Lord. Lord, I say stretch us. Stretch us more, Lord, so that we become more perfect. We become more complete. That we come to that place of being fully extended for you and your purposes and for one another, O Lord. Lord, we just call upon you. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord. Lord, even those who are getting old in age, Lord, you said that we're going to be full with sap and that our leaves will be green. I just want to continue to proclaim that for us, Lord. We're going to be full of that sap and full of your life and still produce the fruit that you've called us to do. Lord, we're not going to look on the exterior. We're not going to look at the tents that are just wearing away. We're going to look at the life that you've put in us. Lord, it's eternal life. It's eternal life, oh God. And that life will go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah, Lord. Let that life just burst out of these dilapidated tents. I ask in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.